Ganesh Cheesh for being here with us today on Juno Afternoon. I'm Rhonda McBride. You're listening to the orchestration of one of the compositions that will be performed this weekend at Thunder Mountain High School in the auditorium, where we will be invited to imagine what Romeo was like, the wolf that Juno came to love and know. And at its heart, this is a love story that defies sort of the historical stereotype of wolves, as in sort of the big bad wolf of Little Red Riding Hood. And although Romeo has been gone for more than a dozen years now, yes, hard to believe, there's still a magic in his presence that still lives on. And joining us to talk about that, David Hunsaker, Todd Hunt, and Genevieve Carson, three people who have had a big hand in this weekend's upcoming production, Wolf Songs. It's part of the Orpheus Project. It's a month-long tribute to Romeo. And David, I want to start off with you because we sort of know you as a playwright, storyteller primarily, but can you tell us a little bit about what your role is in Wolf Song?
Well, I wrote a whole bunch of words to go with it. It was I was asked to write a cantata, the libretto for a cantata, and I had to go look that up and see what that was. But anything to do with the Orpheus Project and with my friends Todd Hunt and Emerson Eads, we worked together on The Princess Sophia, sounded good to me. So I what I wrote was essentially a long tone poem about the wolf. And Emerson then went and composed some very strong, powerful, and very emotive music. My piece is not so much emotion. It's more trying to be quite unemotional about it. But what Emerson has done is come in and added this incredible texture of raw sound, raw emotion. Very beautiful.
So in other words, we're going to hear you narrate the story with this backdrop of amazing music behind you, swelling and making us experience this. That would be pretty amazing. Now, where is Emerson Eads from? He's not from Juno, is he?
He's from Fairbanks.
Ah, so this is an all-Alaska production in many ways. So, Todd Hunt, you are sort of behind the Orpheus Project. You've been organizing various components of it. And this is a project with a lot of moving parts, but one of your contributions was to compose another one of the pieces that will be performed. So can you tell us a little bit about what your role is with that?
Okay, sure. Well, I am artistic director of Orpheus Project, and I've been looking forward to doing this old Romeo project for a number of years now. And I got it into my head that I needed to write a piece for it too. And so I made that happen for myself. It's about an hour long. It's based on text from Nick Jans's book, A Wolf Called Romeo, and the piece is consequently called A Wolf Called Romeo, that sort of takes some of Nick's favorite excerpts from the book, and I set them to music. And also, I had this idea that dance absolutely had to be part of this, because when you think of Romeo playing with the dogs, that's what it is. It's like this giant dance. So Genevieve, who we'll talk to here in a second, was the first person I talked to about doing this, and wanted to make sure she was on board, just kind of bounce some ideas off of her. And so what I've ended up written, for lack of a better term, I'm calling a cantata ballet, even though it's not it's not actual ballet, strictly speaking, but that's sort of the term we use in our art music world. So that's the nutshell of what my piece is, which will be on the second half of the program. And Dave and Emerson's piece, Black Wolf, is the first half of the program.
Well, it sounds like you've set things up nicely for Genevieve Carson to introduce herself. Tell us a little bit about yourself, because you also are from Alaska, right?
I am indeed, yes, born and raised in Juneau, and eventually moved to Los Angeles for school. And once I graduated school, I decided to stay in Los Angeles and pursue my dance and choreography career, and eventually became the artistic director of Los Angeles Contemporary Dance Company. And while I was artistic director of LACDC, I was approached by Dave and Todd to collaborate on the Princess Sophia opera, which was such an amazing project to have had the honor to be involved in. And it was such a great experience. And I remember at that time, Todd whispered a little something about the possibility of a Romeo opera in the future. And I was so excited. And several years later, we sat down at the new brewery in Auk Bay and started tossing around ideas. And I said, sign me up. So I had the honor of choreographing for this amazing opera as well. And it's been a really amazing journey. We did all of our rehearsals in Los Angeles, and dancers from Alaska came to Los Angeles to rehearse with us. And now we're in Juneau, incorporating even more Juneau dancers into the mix. So quite an ambitious endeavor, but I think it's going to be really spectacular.
Well, this sounds amazing that all of these people basically come together within probably what, less than a week's time, and pull. You've got orchestras, you've got dancers, you've got narration that has to be read. It just seems like a lot has to come together quickly. How do you do that?
Well, there's also a chorus. So the Vox Borealis, the Sarah Radke Brown is the director for that, is a chorus associated with the Black Wolf piece with the David Emerson's work. So not only is there a narrator and orchestra in that, but there's a choir as well.
Oh boy. I mean, this is one of those productions, I think, that you have to see it.
Yeah, just because to believe it.
Yeah, just because so much is going on. And then, of course, it's the Amalga Chamber Orchestra. But, I mean, people are just coming together all at once. How does that work? How does it all come out in the end just perfectly?
You're right. Well, I guess we have yet to see that. But we have been doing a lot of rehearsals, sort of as Genevieve mentioned, separately. So dancers rehearsing separately, some of the Juno dancers rehearsing separately. And so then the dance comes together. I've been working with instrumentalists, not individually, but in smaller groups, and then bring them together. Sarah has been working with Vox Borealis on this for a few weeks now, and we just were able to start putting all of the pieces together just a couple of days ago, literally. So it's been a little bit of a crawl, and now the big push to the end. And you know, we all knock on wood and, you know, see this through to the end.
Well, it is kind of this huge birthing process that happens. But, you know, we hit played some of the music for this. I think it was from Emerson Eads, but it was music that you synthesized on a computer, that these weren't played right by a live orchestra. And now you've got the Amalga Chamber Orchestra there. You've got the Vox Borealis Choir there. What's it like to kind of have this vision come together with live bodies?
So, I mean, I think well, both Genevieve and Dave maybe have the hardest aspect of that, because they've been listening to this computer-generated stuff, and now that they're being thrown into the live music, even though it all tracks and all of the notes are there, it's really different, and there's no way to kind of get around that, especially with the singing, of course, because the computers haven't caught up to actually putting text out there. So that's been really, yeah, eye-opening in a lot of ways. And as a composer and conducting it, I'm like, oh, right, yeah, I didn't do that quite right. And it's too bad I don't have time to go back and fix it, because, you know, this instrument doesn't play as loud as this one. And there's all sorts of complications. But, you know, that's what rehearsals are for, and why we do this and get the best possible thing we can get by the time our audience shows up.
Well, David,
it's magnificent. The music is really good, and it was nice on the computer generated thing, but to me, it's such a very different thing. And I didn't think there was any part of this that I would have any trouble reading and get choked up. I'm not a very easily choked up person, but the other night when I heard the chamber orchestra and the choir going at it for the first time, I just about lost it, you know? So it's pretty great.
So how about reading us some of your narration that's going to go over the Emerson Eads music, and we'll just have to imagine it and come just see how wonderful it'll all come together.
Maybe. Do you want to twistle it, Todd? Would that work? No, I'm kidding.
Yeah, that would be so bad.
I mean, mercifully, I do keep quiet for a good portion of it, so you just get to hear the music. But here's some of the words. Now he comes into my sight, black, jet black on the white snow, like a vision, like a dream, like a ghost. Something ancient about him, primordial, otherworldly, or something profoundly of this world, but not the human world. He stands majestically still. Somehow, he draws the dogs to him. They cower. They seem to shake, but they go to the black phantom, powerless. The dogs are close to the wild wolf now. I can see he is twice as big as the shepherd. He touches his nose to theirs, tail straight out, a canine greeting. And suddenly, they romp.
Wow. So what is it about the power of all of this coming together? Because, you know, it's not like a movie where we're going to see every bit of the story sort of told blow by blow. As an audience, it seems like we're going to have to work to experience this.
Yeah, that's one of the things that made this whole project it's complicated to even think about is, you know, we don't have a real storyline and we don't have all the facts. We have a bunch of stories from different people and their experiences and their feelings. And so having as many different artistic ideas come together or even do their own thing was the best way to tell this story, if you will, because it's not just one story. There's lots of stories, and some of them are probably conflicting, but it's what our experience is with this magic thing that happened between human, canine, and just nature that I think mostly captured my imagination. Is it's not just about Romeo, but it's about how we fit into the nature that's right in our backyard.
I guess we're going to have to ask our audiences to use their imagination to picture how this is all going together. But I do have a piece of your music, and this is about the part where tragedy befalls Romeo. You know, I don't know if in this music he's being pursued by the poachers, but something ominous is happening that eventually takes his life. So I'm going to play a little bit of it, and I want to go to Genevieve to tell us about what kind of dancing we will see. I understand that they haven't practiced it yet, had a chance to do it, but maybe you can give us an idea. But let me just play a little bit of this first. So, Genevieve, what are we seeing here on the stage?
This is actually one of the sections that is not focused around dance. The dancers will be very involved, but really what we wanted to capture was a very profound and moving image, a slow-moving image on stage that felt magical and also captured that sense of, you know, impending doom, something on the horizon that will change everything. So I've been working with some really brilliant trusted collaborators in Los Angeles who are wonderful costume designers and sculpture artists. And we had some long discussions about this section and how we could create a really impactful image on stage. And what we ended up thinking about was using fabric, long pieces of fabric. I believe we have 90-foot pieces of fabric that will be attached from a high point off stage. The fabric is beautiful. It's this black shimmering fabric that in the light changes depending on what kind of light is hitting it. And it looks like these giant shadows that will be looming in from off stage and then reaching out and stretching towards the audience. And we're attaching gloves into the ends of the fabric. So it looks like there's an entity underneath the shadow that is getting stretched and morphed and pressed towards the audience and kind of engulfing them and then pulling a life force back. So that's the goal with this section. We have not tried it yet. We have a lot of wonderful volunteers from the community who will be helping us because we need a lot of bodies to work underneath the fabric and manipulate it with the dancers. We've never done this before. This is a completely original idea. Just right now, it's just in our heads and we have the fabric and the concepts. We just haven't tried it with all of the bodies yet. So that's going to be a big endeavor for us tomorrow night when we do have those extra bodies.
Wow, this is like an adventure for us too, to see this all unfold. So David, I want to go back to you because you're reading some of your work about Romeo. What is it about Romeo that is worth all of this trouble? I know that Nick Jans, who is also having some of his work used in this, really believes that Romeo is really kind of historical, that there really isn't, as far as anyone knows, a story like this where a wolf became beloved by the community and befriended pets and people. Do you feel like this is a story that needs to be told this way? And if so, how are we experiencing it because it's told this way?
Well, I think it's a really complicated story, and it's a story that will still, any time you talk about wolves, almost any place on Earth, but particularly maybe in Alaska, you're going to get some very, very strong opinions. And the poachers who killed Romeo are not the only people who thought this whole thing was ridiculous and that he was a menace and that it was a wild and possibly crazy animal that was posing a danger to the community. Then on the other hand, you had people in the community, and I'm one of them, who went out there early in the morning to see this phenomenon of this wolf. And I've never heard of a tiger in India or Malaysia or someplace befriending coming into a community, or a lion in Africa, or a wild elephant. It's such a strange and, on one hand, sad story, but it also, to me, it's a great Juno story, because we live in an extraordinarily isolated place on the fringe of wilderness. We're surrounded by wilderness on all sides of us and no connection other than the water to get out of it. And when something that profoundly from the wild crosses a kind of border and becomes a citizen of the town in some way, or a symbol of the town, or a point of contention in the town, all of those points strike me as being pretty interesting and something worth exploring.
How about you, Genevieve? Did you ever grow up seeing Romeo?
No, I never saw Romeo, but I heard of the magic of Romeo, of course, and was very familiar with the story. And, you know, that's why I was so excited to be involved in this production, because it is so near and dear to the community and something that was such a magical time, you know, a very special pocket of magic for the community. And I think it's great that Todd and Dave are bringing it back to life, this wonderful, magical story back to life for the community to celebrate the memory of Romeo together again.
Well, we are just about out of time, but I did want you, Todd, to recap what we need to know to be able to get tickets. And are they going pretty well at this point?
They are, the pace is picking up. So Friday, especially, I should say it's this weekend. It is Friday and Saturday and Sunday, 7:30 on Friday and Saturday, and Sunday at 2 o'clock. So only three shows. Friday is selling fastest, and Saturday the second most, and Sunday is lagging a little bit behind. So there are tickets left, but you know, they're not really going to last. So you can go to orpheusproject.org. That's O-R-P-H-E-U-S, which lots of people have had to learn how to spell. orpheusproject.org to get tickets. And there's links for that too. And also information on all of the other events that we have going on and have already passed too. So you can check out Nick Chan's Fireside Chat there. You can bid on some photography. And yeah, there's just loads going on.
There are so many moving parts, but you can read about it at orpheusproject.org. And just one final question. Do you think that there's any chance that this production might travel beyond Juneau?
Oh, that's always a hope, and especially when composers write new music, they don't want it just played once. They want it to be done a lot. They want it to be done all the time. So, I mean, as an organization, Orpheus will try to get other productions and maybe something that tours, but, you know, both me and Emerson as well, I'm sure, will try to get this done elsewhere, so... it's a hopeful yes.
Okay. Well, I like that. Hopeful yes. All right. Well, I want to thank the three of you, David Hunsaker, Todd Hunt, and Genevieve Carson. Thank you for being here with us today in the midst of all your preparations to get ready for this Wolf Song concert. Thanks so much. Friday and Saturday, 7:30, Thunder Mountain High School. It's in the auditorium. There is a matinee Sunday at 2 p.m. Go to orpheusproject.org for your ticket information. Thank you so much, all of you.
Yeah, thank you, Rhonda.
Thank you.